I guess he was about 6 months old when I finally decided that it was time to break the cycle with their dad. My stepdad came and saw me one night. I worked third shift at the Frontier House.
It's a fight to get through it, to get past it, but to stop it from coming back. Hey, what's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of Called to Serve Podcast. I am your host, Reggie Hubbard, and today I have a very special guest on here virtually today. Her name is Heather Bean, and let me tell you a little bit about Heather. Heather is on fire for Jesus. She is a huge advocate for spreading the word. She's a mother of three, an entrepreneur, and an author. So we'll get to that a little bit later, and I don't want to steal her thunder, but welcome, Heather. How are you?
I'm blessed. How are you?
Oh, I'm alive, I'm awake, and I feel great.
Amen.
I live a life I don't deserve, but I will take it anyway.
That's right.
So, Heather, tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I'm from Dayton, Tennessee.
Dayton, Tennessee. Is that where you are currently?
It is, yes.
Tennessee. You know what? Thank you, Lord, for this technology that we have. We can connect on different levels from all around the world.
It's amazing.
You know, when I first started this podcast, I talked about a day where one day we would take it to a virtual platform. That way we could speak and we can do the podcast all around the world. And, you know, that is coming into fruition. Heather, you're our first virtual podcast in history. So, you know, you just broke history today and didn't even know it.
Praise Jesus.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise Jesus. All right. So talk to us about what it was like growing up in Tennessee.
I grew up in a very loving home. You know, I had an amazing mom. Her and my dad weren't together, but I had a stepdad who stepped in and, you know, took up the role as for my dad. She had me in church every Sunday. I was very active in every youth program that I could attend. I was on fire for Jesus at a very young age. Tennessee is like, you know, the Bible Belt. I grew up in a very small town, but it's very homey, you know, and everybody knows everybody and everybody rallies together and is there for each other when we need it. So,
wow. So I guess, how do you think that kind of shaped your life early in life? Just having that supportive and that loving family.
Well, you know, I came from a line of strong women. My Nana she had four girls and they were very independent women. My Nana was very independent. And it taught me how to fight, you know, it taught me how to not give up, how to go for the things that I wanted in life and that nobody was going to come and rescue me. If I wanted it done, I just had to do it. So, but it showed me love and support, you know, that at that time I didn't recognize. I now recognize that, but it showed me how strong I can be.
Wow. And so growing up, let's say, you know, you grew up, what was your high school situation kind of like? Did you enjoy it? What was that like, you know, from transitioning from a little girl into a young woman?
So in eighth grade, I met someone. I was at a party and I was transitioning into high school. You know, I went and met my teachers and all that. I was a cheerleader in my freshman year when I first went in. I had cheered my whole life. But when, I don't know, I guess about 3 months into my high school year, I met someone and they introduced me to methamphetamine for the first time. So I was 13 years old when I tried it. I was surrounded by adults who, you know, I thought I was in a safe place. I didn't even know what I was doing, but very quickly it took a hold of my life. So my high school years were ripped away from me. I was bullied a little bit in school. I wasn't really the outcast, you know, and I wasn't really like in with the clique, but I was just different. You know, I've always known that I was just different.
Yeah. And I'm sorry that happened, you know, to you when you were 13. So methamphetamine, And you mentioned that it kind of took control of your life. Could you expound on that?
Yeah. So I'll never forget the first time I tried it. It was the night before Easter Sunday. And, you know, like I said, growing up in church, I knew the Lord and I'd felt his presence and I'd heard him speak to me. And I'd been slain in the Holy Spirit on multiple occasions. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, so we would dance all over the place. But when I went into church the next morning after being up all night on it, and for the first time in my life, I felt a separation from God. It was like I felt so empty, but it left me wanting more. And I think it was more the shame of not knowing what I had done, but knowing that I had done something wrong, something to hurt his heart in a sense. And I couldn't get out of that church quick enough. And when I did, I went right back to the streets and started using again. And I quit, you know, I'd done it with the guy that I was dating at the time. We ran around for about 6 months doing it. And then we separated and I was able to stop for a while. And then at the age of 15, I met my oldest two kids' dad. And that's when it really took a hold of my life.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm so grateful for, you know, you just being here, being willing to tell that, because most people, I don't feel like they would be as forward as you are with sharing this. But I know the reason why you are sharing this is because you want to bring awareness. You know, you want to help other people. You want to help deliver other people, because they're, believe it or not, right, there are thousands, probably millions of people who struggle with drugs and, you know, and meth and things like that. So that's very commendable for sure.
Thank you.
So what was it like having children while battling this addiction? Can I call it an addiction at this point?
Absolutely. Yes.
What was it like having children going through that process of creating life while struggling with this addiction?
Oh, it was a battle in itself. I lost a child at the age of 16, and that devastated me. And I couldn't figure out, you know, I didn't understand why. And my mom said, you know, some very, very important words to me at that time. She said, you know, God might have saw that something was going to be wrong with that baby and took it, because I was using really heavy. And so I hold on to that, you know, I hold on to that, knowing that one day I will see that child. But then when I got pregnant with my daughter at the age of 18, I was able to stop at the first sign of noticing, you know, that I was pregnant. And I quit through the pregnancy. I done good for the first couple months that she was here. But it's hard when you're with someone and they're doing it. And it's impossible. I don't care what anybody says. If you're around it, you're going to do it. So I fell back into that pattern, trying to be a mom, almost like a single mom, because, you know, he didn't work. I was trying to maintain a job and take care of her. And it was just this difficult balancing act. And I felt very isolated from my family because of the addiction and because of the way that he was. And it just, you know, it was this back and forth thing. And then my oldest son came along, and I guess he was about 6 months old when I finally decided that it was time to break the cycle with their dad. You know, we'd been together for 7 years at this point, and it was just very toxic, all the time fighting. He, you know, never being able to get ahead. It seemed like we just kept going further and further backwards. And so I finally said, enough is enough. I don't want to raise my kids in this. You know, it's time to break this cycle. And I was able to get away from him and met my youngest son's dad. And we got married and things were good for a while. You know, we had it all, the house, the cars, everything. So
what, if you can think about this and if you can recall, what would you say was that pushing, that turning point that said, you know what, that made you say, I've got to stop? Was there one single thing that just was a turning point for you?
My stepdad came and saw me one night. I worked third shift at the Frontier House. And, we worked, but it was just working to get high. We didn't pay our bills and stuff. And he came and saw me one night, and I went from probably about 115 pounds to about 70 pounds real fast. Wow. And he came in and said, you're going to die if you keep doing this. And those words still resound in my head daily. He's the only person that actually spoke up and vocalized, that he noticed me, that he seen that I was withering away, that he seen I was killing myself. The small town that we live in, at that time, addiction it wasn't talked about like it is now. You heard about people doing drugs, but that was just it. It was just drugs. We didn't know. My mom didn't know, and she didn't know how to help me. So, but that was a turning point for me. And it took me a while to realize this is going to kill me. I didn't even know really what I was dealing with until he spoke that to me.
And when you realized that, when you had that realization that it definitely would kill you eventually, what was your first thoughts?
What am I doing? What have I done? How did I get here? That was my first thoughts was, how did I get here to this? What in me has caused me to want to just give up on my life?
Wow, that's powerful. That's very powerful. I can sense like this is going to be a very powerful story, a very powerful episode. And, it's my hopes and my prayers that a lot of people be delivered in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Of hearing this. Because you've had quite a fight. You've had quite a fight. And I think when it comes to addiction, it's a constant fight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fight to get through it, to get past it, but to stop it from coming back.
That was just the beginning.
Yeah.
Tell
us more. So at that point, I want to know where the point where I guess you stopped relying on yourself to beat this, and when you started relying on Jesus Christ.
Okay, so when my youngest son was almost 2 years old, me and my ex-husband separated and started going through a divorce. And when we did, I spiraled. I had just had a complete hysterectomy. I just lost another baby due to an ectopic pregnancy. And I had to make the decision to have them remove that child. So that alone devastated me. On top of all the medical issues that I was having, it really done something to my mental health, and I had this void in my heart, like that only Jesus could fill. But when we separated was when my addiction took over full force. I was almost 24 years old. And within 6 years, I had started using IV drugs. I took my children to my mom's because my youngest was staying with my ex-husband at the time. And, it just done something to me because I had went from being a stay-at-home mom. Everywhere I went, my children went with me. And then during our separation, he ended up with my youngest son. And that devastated me. In my mind, I couldn't think of how can I be a mom to my oldest two and not have my youngest. It just wasn't fair. Right. So my oldest two, I took them to my mom's, and that's when my addiction really took over, and it went on for 10, 15 years. I was in and out of rehabs, in and out of jail, would tell my kids I'm getting it together this time, and just never could. And on December 27th, 2015, I'll never forget, I woke up in a probably a 10 by 10 shed that was more like a drug house. You know, that's where we would stay and get high. I'd had the worst fight in the world with my family that Christmas, and I'll never forget waking up and seeing the devastation on my children's face because I couldn't even make it 2 hours after getting up without being high. And so my mom took me and dropped me off, you know, to get me out of the house to keep us from fighting. And I had done a shot so big that it knocked me out. You know, I'm pretty sure I was left for dead. And when I come to, they were just as shocked as I was. I looked in the mirror and I didn't even know who I was anymore. I was just this frail, fragile, statured person who was just empty. And I knew, I'll never forget calling my mom and saying, I need you to come and talk to me because if you don't, I'm going to die this way. And that's when I revealed to her how I was using drugs, the extent of my drug use. And I told her, I said, I need faith-based program and it has to be a year long because I know that Jesus Christ is the only one who's going to pull me out of this. I don't know. It's like in between that 3 days, 2 or 3 day time period of being out, it was almost like God was really speaking to my heart. You know, there was a secular song that kept playing on repeat, it felt like. And it talked about a girl who was giving her life away to addiction and how her mom was the only one who stood by her and the things that it was doing to her mom. Well, that really spoke to my spirit. You know, even in our worst of times, God's still speaking to us. He's still trying to draw us out of that. And he was. And when he got a hold of me, it opened the door for me to go to a faith-based year-long program. And I went on January the 4th of 2016. And boy, did he completely wreck my world when I did. I was able to establish a firm foundation with him there. So,
wow, I love to hear that. What was that program like?
Oh, it was very, I say a lot of times that a sober person who's never experienced drug use cannot do a program like that. But it was amazing. It was all biblically based. All of the teachings were out of the Bible. So we learned how to renew our minds with the Word of God and to see the way that He sees us. I done a lot of deep inner healing over, you know, childhood wounds, over trauma that I had bottled up. I didn't even realize that I bottled it up. That was what was causing me to want to be numb. It was a very strenuous, it was more like a discipleship program though. They disciple you. They teach you how to be the hands and feet of Jesus. They teach you how to serve and teach you, you know, help you get that firm foundation established and so that your roots can grow down deep in Him so that nothing can shake you or move you.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So what would you say, I mean, after completing the program, right, what would you say your relationships were like after you completed it?
They were rocky. You know, I went away for a year and I'm getting myself together thinking, well, when I go back home, everything's going to be good. You know, life's going to be great. My kids are just going to welcome me with open arms. And it doesn't work like that. Some of these programs are not established well enough to where it teaches you how to be able to cope with that, I guess, because you're kind of sheltered in a sense. We called it a Jesus bubble. We were in a Jesus bubble. We didn't experience much of the outside world. So when I went home and my family was still there trying to overcome the hurt and the devastation that I had just put them through for, you know, 15, almost 20 years, it wasn't butterflies and rainbows, you know, and I had like, that was really hard for me. It caused me a few setbacks. I now have 4 years clean and sober, but it's a journey and it's a process. But not being able to just cultivate that instant connection with them, that instant, I love you and I'm going to welcome you this way. It's hard, and you have to prepare yourself for that. If you're coming out of addiction, you have to be prepared to know okay, they got to see this is going to take time. It's going to take consistency and perseverance and pushing through, even when they want to say the things that hurt the most, because they're not healed the way that you have been working on yourself.
Yeah. Why do you think that it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows when you finally came home?
Because I had done a lot of damage. I'd hurt them, you know, and I'd broken their trust. And there were so many times that I've got it this time, you know, I'm good this time. And very quickly, I would fall right back into the same pattern.
Yeah, I think, you know, you had trauma, right? You discovered during your program, right? And that you didn't even notice had been suppressed.
Yeah.
Right. But then also on the other end, there was trauma created for everyone who cares about you, having to see you that way, whether it be your parents, your family, your children.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, at a point in time, they're probably just like, you know, I want to see if this is the real deal.
Yeah.
So if you don't mind talking about it, like, have relationships gotten better since that point in time?
With my children?
Yeah. Oh, man. Your family, children?
Yeah, actually just over the past 2 years, because I'd gotten a divorce from my son's dad, you know, and I ended up marrying another man in 2019, and it was toxic. He was using, and I was clean, and I thought I could pull him out of it. You know, I thought I could just love him out of that, but it didn't work. He quickly sucked me back in. So the relationships that I began to rebuild were getting destroyed all over again. But in 2021, I finally decided, you know, I'm done with this. I'm done with these cycles. I'm done with it all, Lord. And in 2023, we separated, and I fully surrendered everything to Jesus. You know, for a long time, I had been trying to force my will into God's will, and that is by means of restoring my relationships with my children. I kept trying to force that on them instead of just letting God do it. And I didn't know the ways that they were hurting, you know, like He knew. And so in 2023, when I finally stepped back and said, okay, Lord, like, it's all yours. You do what you can do, and I'm going to do what I can do. And that was devout my time with Him. That's when I started writing my book. I would come home from work and I would just journal every single day. I would pour my heart out to Him because there were still areas in my life that needed healing. Cause it, you know, I kept going back to a man, took the drug addiction away, but then I went back to chasing after a man, and that's not what God wanted for me. He wanted me whole and healed so that I could be that mom, so that I could be that wife that He has ordained me to be one day. But it took me spending time with the Lord. I spent all of 2023 devoted to Him. I said, Lord, you know, I'm going to give you a year of my life and just heal me, do this work in me, whatever it takes. And through that, He slowly began to place me in positions to bring restoration with my children. My oldest son, he came to live with me in 2022, and God tremendously started to do a quick work in our relationship because he was struggling at the time. He started battling his own addiction, you know, and it was like everything that I went through was to prepare me for that battle, to walk my son through it. And I had to be completely rid of everything, every distraction, so that I could focus on that. And so that began to take place. And then it opened the door with my youngest son because he was battling his own problems with alcohol and stuff. And so God began to mend our relationship through that. You know, it was a battle. There was a lot of anger. There was a lot of hurt that had to come out, and God prepared me for it. And I knew, but I had to stay rooted and not let my emotions control me. And now he's they're like my best friends. You know, my youngest son calls me every single day. He doesn't live with me, but he calls me every single day. He's become one of my best friends. My daughter, that was one of the toughest ones. I honestly didn't think she would ever come around, but I stayed fervent in my prayers because she was the oldest. She is the oldest, so she's seen a lot more than her brothers did. But just last year, a 4 a.m. phone call from her about a spider, and God has used it to completely restore our relationship. Now, a spider in her house. She needed me to come get the spider out of her house. And now, you know, she calls me all the time to tell me she loves me and just to tell me that she doesn't hate me anymore. She hated me for a long time. She actually called me a few weeks ago and said, you know, Mom, I was listening to this podcast and I just want you to know that I don't hate you anymore and that it was not that you weren't trying, but it's that I wasn't trying, letting you try. So when I stepped back and let God do it, he done just as he told me in 2023. He gave me Ephesians 3:20. And he said, if you will just trust me, I will do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask, think, or imagine. And he has done just that.
Amen. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I know you mentioned, just a little bit ago, you mentioned that you were working on a book.
Yes.
Are you willing to tell us a little bit about that and the inspiration, but what are you hoping to achieve with this book?
Absolutely. It's called Healing in the Trenches. I do have a website, www.healinginthetrenches.com. I'm currently taking pre-sale orders for it right now. It should be published prayerfully by the end of July. I went on an Emmaus walk in 2023, in the fall of 2023, and the Lord began to speak to me through that. An Emmaus walk is where you go away for the weekend, no technology, no nothing, and you spend time with the Lord. And when I'd done that, he asked me, you know, I'd already been journaling. All year I'd been journaling that year and just writing things out and allowing him to speak to me through that. And he told me to write my story. And so I did. And then I came across a lady on Facebook who is, she has a book coaching program. And it's for Kingdom Women authors. And Lord just began to really tug at my heart to turn my story into a book.
Wow.
And so it is my testimony about God's goodness and what he steps in and does. And, you know, the things that he will do when we fully surrender to him and allow him to write our story. Allow him to have the pen and us stop trying to take control. My goals and my purpose behind it is simply to just be obedient for him because I want to see all women, even men, beat addiction. I want them to know that you can come back from nothing because I had nothing. I had no home, no car, no job. I was not good to even be in my parents' house without them there. Now I am a manager of Nani's Cafe, which is inside a nuclear plant here in Tennessee. I have my own cleaning company, Valley Girls Cleaners. I'm co-owners with my best friend on that. I have a vehicle. I have my own home. You know, I'm writing a book. So I just want people to know that God can take the least likely and turn you into somebody. He has a purpose for you, for each and every one of us.
That is very powerful. I'm thinking about, you know, when this all started for you, and I'm thinking about, wow, how many 13-year-old girls are being, you know, subjected to this type of exposure, this type of influence. If we have some that are listening today, what would you say to that 13-year-old girl who's, you know, potentially getting wrapped up in this kind of thing?
To get out now, to find someone that you know is not going to judge you, to reach out to me if you have to, so that I can pray with you, so that I can get you in connection somewhere with someone, because Jesus loves you and you have a purpose. And whatever happened to you in your childhood that's causing you to just want to be numb, he can heal that, and he wants to heal that, and he is not the reason behind that, but he was right there with you when it was happening.
Wow. That's powerful. Yeah, I admire your journey that you've come through 100%. And now you spend your time just sharing the word.
Yeah.
And I love that too. You know, I think I've said this before, but I really believe this. I believe a lot of times before there's a blessing, there's a breaking.
Amen.
And some of the most influential people in the Bible had downfalls, right? They had to go through breakings before they received, you know, God's blessings. I think of Joseph being sold into slavery by his brothers, essentially his family, and everything he had to go through, being a slave and working his way up, you know, even through Potiphar's house, and ultimately becoming second in command over all of Egypt.
Yeah.
Because I know when you're in that situation and when you're in the storm, it can feel lonely. It can be very painful. But I truly believe that God's preparing you for something greater. To be able and ready to receive what he has in store for you. You know, what if you would have never started methamphetamine?
If I'd never tried, I probably would not have the heart that I do for him right now, to be honest with you. I would not need him the way that I need him today.
Yeah. You wouldn't acknowledge that we depend on God.
Yes.
Right? Because the only way to the Father is through the Son.
Amen.
Right? Yes. And yeah, so it's not about how you start, it's how you finish. Because even if you never started and you never submitted to Christ, at the end of the day, how's that going to end for you? If you don't acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior.
Yeah, it's not going to end very well.
Based on our beliefs, right?
Right, right.
Right. So, you know, while it was unfortunate and you had to endure pain and you had to endure struggle, it made you who you are. It made you a warrior of Christ.
Absolutely.
Right? It equipped you to go out there and fight. Fight for yourself, but fight for other people. Fight to win those souls for the kingdom. Ain't nobody perfect in this world. We all messed up.
Yeah.
We all have done stuff that we're ashamed of. You know, but the beautiful thing about Jesus Christ is that he always meets us where we're at. Whether that's in a 10x10 shed, not knowing what's going on, barely having life, or whether it's at the top of a mountain, Jesus always meets us where we're at.
Yeah.
And he'll always call us his own.
This is true.
Right? Yes. I'm so inspired by your story. Obviously, you're here for a reason. You're here on this podcast right now for a reason. What do you want to do?
I just want to help him. I just want to be his servant. You know, I just want to show others that it's possible, that they're worthy, that they are loved, that they have a purpose, that before they were even born, before they even had to go through the things that they went through, God has a specific assignment for them. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb.
Come on.
He knew. He knew what we was going to go through. He knew what it would take for us to get to the foot of the cross, to live a life of full surrender to him. But he still called us by name, and he still chose us to do what he's called us to do. What other people would say, well, they're not qualified. He qualifies us.
You're justified by faith.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, now you speak it to me. You know what I mean? Because I think that is a real question that people ask themselves is, what qualifies me? And this is something I've asked myself before too, because I had a season in my life where I was in ministry in the church, right? And I've asked myself, man, what qualifies me to lead these people, to coach these people?
He does.
And the Lord spoke to me and said, Reggie, I want you to understand this, okay? And I really want you to pay attention to this and really internalize this. In order for you to coach someone, in order for you to lead someone, you only ever have to be one step ahead of them.
That's good.
You only have to be one step ahead of them.
That's good.
And that wrecked me. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm like, you know, you, yeah. In order to coach someone, you only got to be one step ahead of them to lead them out of the darkness.
I had a mentor I was working with last year, and she said, she reached out to me. We met through a job that I was working at, and she said, I feel like the Lord wants you to have your own ministry, so I want to mentor you, which I did start a ministry in January. It's just not up and going yet. It's called Restore Her Ministries. I will be doing sexual abuse counseling with women through that, because I have a program called Wildflowers that I just went through, and the Lord took me through it so that I could walk, you know, upright in deliverance through that. But so when she reached out to me and we're talking, and she's got her other spiritual daughters and people praying, you know, they spoke some things, prophesied some things over me, which when I was 13, well, not 13, let me back up. When I was 11, I was prophesied over that I would be a mighty woman of God one day. And at that time, I didn't realize it. You know, I didn't think nothing of it. And especially when I hit 13, I thought, there's no way. Then in my 20s, it was confirmed to me through another lady that I would be a mighty woman of God. And still didn't see it. Still didn't see how he could use me, why he would want to use me. And so when she started speaking these things to me that, you know, you're going to be speaking from different platforms, you're going to be doing this and that, I'm like, no. And I distinctly remember hitting my knees and crying out to God and asking him why, you know, why do you want to use me? Why me? Someone with the worst past, the worst name in my town that I could possibly have, you know, nobody's going to want me to speak in their church. Nobody's going to want to use me. And I'm not perfect. I still have all these shortcomings. And he spoke so clearly to me, and it totally wrecked my world. And he said, if you were perfect, you wouldn't need me. You know, the whole purpose of the cross would have been pointless if all we done was gave our lives, accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and then were perfected. Then what would the point in needing to be reliant on him? You know, it would have been for nothing.
Wow. That's powerful. And Heather, you know, I want to share something with you. And I hope that you keep this with you. Because when you were asking that question, what I was thinking was, you know, when you're like, well, why me? Like, I've had a past, I've done this, I've done that. You're always best equipped to help who you used to be.
Amen. I receive that.
Who better than to talk to women about overcoming drug addiction, you know, sexual abuse, than someone who had been delivered from it? Imagine me trying to counsel young women about drug addiction when I've never as much as smoked a cigarette in my life.
Yeah.
They're going to look at me like, who's this clown? Yeah. You get what I'm saying?
I do. I get it.
You're best equipped to help who you used to be.
It's just been it's a battle of the flesh. You know what I mean? A battle of our mind, more so to speak.
100%.
One of my life verses is Proverbs 24:16. Though the righteous fall seven times, they stand back up. You know, and that is the epitome of my life. But righteous is right standing. You know, it means that no matter how many times we fall, we're still in right standing with God as long as we keep that relationship cultivated with Him. And that's what I try to do. I have worked hard to cultivate this relationship with Him, even though through my striving it didn't come. And it's taken me some time to realize that I don't have to strive for anything, that He just loves me the way that I am. And as long as I keep Him first in my life, then everything else falls into alignment. So,
yeah. Wow, that's powerful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Now, I want to shift gears a little bit, right? I want to know, what do you like to do for fun?
Oh, goodness. I like to be on the lake. I like to go fishing. Anything outside, that's me. Right now I'm doing a thing called Project 300, which we are touring 300 cities in the U.S., and we are hosting events, free Christian concerts. We're giving out food to the homeless. That's consuming my time pretty much on the weekends now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever make it out to Atlanta, definitely reach out to me. I'd love to meet you.
Absolutely.
100%, like in person.
Right? Okay.
and break bread with you and you know, fellowship. Wow, that's very cool. So you spend pretty much you spend all of your time evangelizing.
Yeah, that's what I live for now. You know, I've devoted my life to that. There's a recovery program here where I'm from, and I love to go. You know, I'm there every chance I can get. At the church and mentoring and helping these women. I just want to be the hands and feet of Jesus and help disciple others. And I do love to travel. I will say I love to travel. So okay. I spend a lot of my time not doing that. And I guess I'm making up for lost time. So,
yeah, very, very cool. Very cool. So I do have one more question for you.
Okay.
And, I ask this question a lot, but I just think it's such a powerful question. One day I'm going to have to come up with a different one, but I just don't see it happen anytime soon because I enjoy hearing the answers. All right. So the question is, what might people be surprised to know about you?
Oh, goodness. That I am shy, that I'm really a shy, quiet person.
That you're shy.
Yeah.
I didn't get that at all.
No.
You know what? You're shy but mighty, right? There's a lioness inside of you, right? That is just burning for Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think it takes courage to speak out. It takes courage to go and to minister to people sometimes. You know, because especially if people don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know. So that's very admirable. Thank you. I'm super proud of you. And I know that God is proud of you for doing work, for doing that kingdom work.
Thank you.
Before I let you go, I do have something for you. And I know that we're virtually, but I'll have my assistant get with you and find a shipping address so we can send you out something special. But what I have for you is a Call to Serve custom challenge coin.
Okay.
And what that says, it says our slogan on the back, serving those who serve others. What I hope for this to be for you, Heather, is a reminder of what you've gone through, right? What you're about to go through, but why you still continue to show up and serve every single day. That's what I want this to be, a reminder for you. I also have a sticker.
Okay.
So if you got like a Yeti or something or a computer, you want to put it on there. Yeah. This will also be a reminder of why you serve. Okay. I think that you're on the right path and you have truly blessed me today. And your story is going to inspire so many other people's. I wish we had more time to get more into things, and maybe we'll have to have you come back, and once your book gets released, we could do a book talk on your book and just talk through the book and talk through the different stages that inspired you to write it. Okay. I think that would be phenomenal.
We could do that.
So I definitely appreciate you coming out today. And until next time.
All right.